At last, ladies and gentlemen, the sub-series of the final years of Millennium 6 has officially ended, and now we are back to the regular Revelation series. I no longer have to write that, and Selena no longer has to write the final years of Millennium 6. That was a subdivision for months on the Revelation series. And then there was a subdivision of, which I thought was a really great subdivision, of the Limited Era. That was fantastic. Now we are back to simply the plain old Revelation series. And here it is. And we are in chapter 22. And I'm weighing it with intelligence, grace, and good taste. Remember, the New Jerusalem has already come down from heaven. We should recap a little bit. Uh-oh, Zenda's recapping. He's never going to finish it. Show 800, he's recapping. He's going to go all the way back to Revelation chapter 1 and recap because he's so thorough. He must be an idiot. No, I'm just going to tell you that in Revelation 21, verse 1, I perceived a new heavens and a new earth. For the former heaven and the former earth pass away, and the sea is no more. And I perceived the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Remember the New Jerusalem. Okay. New Jerusalem is coming out of heaven. New Jerusalem's coming out of heaven. It's not heaven itself. How can it be heaven itself if it's coming out of heaven? This is me making sense for a living again. I'm not going to stop now in the home stretch here. And I'm not going to let you forget about the body of Christ either. You'll see. I'm not going to get on any crazy sub-series here. But none of my sub-series have been crazy, have they? No, they've all been quite good. Okay, now, so we're in the New Jerusalem, on the New Earth. And that's where we're starting, chapter 22, the last chapter. And he shows me a river of water of life. A river of water of life, resplendent as crystal. As crystal. This is as crystal. Pay attention to this word as throughout the book of Revelation. It doesn't mean it is crystal. It means it's as crystal. If you were to look at it, you would say, that looks like crystal. And your wife would say, it's as crystal.
Yeah, I said it looked like crystal. Didn't mean I wasn't saying it was crystal.
It's not as crystal. Very inviting, very lovely. We even see rivers like this today, especially if you're in Idaho and you're a fly fisherman. You have pure, pristine rivers flowing down from the mountains. Same thing in Colorado. They look crystalline. Issuing out of the throne of God. Issuing out of the throne of God and of the Lambkin. Got to be careful. I don't get lost in the details here because these details are so great. Remember, God doesn't have a literal seat he sits on. A throne. This is coming out of the power center of God.
I gotta think about this. We are looking at physical manifestations here, aren't we? Could there be a literal throne? Even though God wouldn't be on it. So when we're speaking of God, we're speaking of a representative of God, because a literal God is not a man. God doesn't sit down. To do that, he would have to have knees, legs, an ass. No, he doesn't. So, issuing out of the throne of God and the Lambkin, the throne of God and the Lambkin. I'm going to go with that even if John saw a throne, this is the consistent interpretation, even if John saw it, it represents the ruling power of God, and he's ruling with the Lambkin. In the center of its square and on either side of the river is the log of life. This is a unique translation of the Concordant version. They call it the log of life. Why don't they call it the tree of life, Martin? Because a tree is alive. And this log of life, this is the word for log, not tree. This is where the Concordant version distinguishes different words, which is a brilliant way of translating. It's the only sensible way to translate, to distinguish things that God makes different. The log of life producing 12 fruits. This is, remember I told you that the sanctuary and the Holy of Holies was a microcosm of what will happen on the entire earth. That I said the presence of God in
the Holy of Holies. The Shekinah glory between the cherubim of the Ark of the Covenant was a token presence of God. It illuminated that holy place, even though it was covered with curtains. And I said that that was a tiny hint, like the orgasm in the sexual world, of God's glory covering the entire earth. And of you and me eventually having like nonstop things like orgasms, such pleasures, nonstop. But body's able to contain it. That's the thing. So we're looking at that here with the log of life. And in the coffer, that is in the Ark of the Covenant, there was a piece of the stone tablet, from the when Moses received the law. And there was an almond branch, a branch that continually budded. Remember, there was a miracle back in the days of Moses and Aaron. I'm not totally brushed up on it, but Aaron had this almond branch, and it was cut from the source of life, the tree, which was, you know, would have been in touch with its roots and the soil and the water, bringing up nutrition through the tree into the branch. Cut that branch off, so obviously the fruit's going to die. The almonds aren't going to be there. Oh, no, 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 no. Not in this case. The almonds budded. The thing budded. It was a miracle, and it continued to happen in the Ark of the Covenant with the almond branch. It was dead wood. Well, I think wood by itself is dead, so it's a redundancy to say dead wood. Wood is dead. A tree is alive. A log is dead. You throw a log onto the Christmas fire. You don't say it's a dead log. A log by nature is dead. The log of life is dead. Apart from any natural means, it's made alive by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is running things. This is better than nuclear energy. Very efficient, very powerful, and limitless. And nuclear energy, if we ever harnessed it, is probably limitless. There's your perpetual motion right there. Probably is. God has locked the secrets. So many secrets in the atom, in the cell. Yeah. Somebody suggested to me the other day that the cell was like sex. It's funny, some of my friends, they see everything in the universe through the lens of sex, that everything's happening because of sex, and I don't necessarily disagree with that. As you see these opposing forces operating in the world, and flowers are really an explosion of fertilization. And what is that except sex? What do the bees do? They pollinate the flowers. The bees are basically having intercourse with the flowers, and the atom is continuously moving, and the nucleus of the atom, consisting of protons and neutrons and electrons, they're playing against each other, especially those protons and neutrons. You gotta watch out. A proton by itself, okay. A neutron by itself, you probably wouldn't have to babysit it, but if you have a proton and a neutron anywhere near each other, you better bring out the chaperones, because there's going to be some friction. There's going to be some happy friction, if you know what I mean. And those electrons spinning around the thing, it takes it to the next level. It's ridiculous, really, sexual intercourse within the atom, motion within the atom. All this happens. How did I get from the log of life to that? The budding, the blossoming, the blooming. Oh, everything being a microcosm. Yeah, everything being a small thing. So that tiny little branch in the Ark of the Covenant, in that tiny space, in the tiny country, was a hint of this entire new Jerusalem will be fed by this log, by the dead tree, the whole thing, just like the showbread in the sanctuary, in the holy place. The showbread, 12 cakes of bread, was an indication that God would feed the world. Well, this is an indication, or the branch in the Ark of the Covenant was an indication that God would nourish the world, heal the world, keep the world healthy. Because this log of life, let's go on, produces 12 fruits, rendering its fruit in accord with each month, and the leaves of the log are for the cure of the nations. I talked about this in an earlier edition, but here we are. The cure of the nations. Cure being a root word, thermo, somewhere is in there. Thermalia or something like that. And it's the English elements are warm from. So nations are getting warmth. Apparently human bodies will still subsist and consist by means of energy that produces warmth. And the leaves from the trees will do this. They will be nutritive. And they produce a different fruit. I think the fruit is just something that'll taste good. The fruit is a nice addition. The fruit is like dessert. But your main meal is the leaves, if I'm reading this right. They produce 12 fruit, rendering its fruit in accord with each month. And the leaves of the log are for the cure of the nations. The leaves, not the fruit. The leaves are your main course. You order leaves. And the leaves are the same. The leaves apparently don't alter per month. It's the fruit that alters per month. So God loves variety. And every month you have a new fruit. What's the day, Harold? It's October the 1st. Time for the pomegranates. Or November 1st, time for the figs. December 1st, time for the lemons. Of course, at that time, they might not be recognizable fruits as we know fruits. Lemons, limes, pomegranates. Almonds. Almonds fruit? That's a nut. Is it a fruit? Oh, it's a nut. Apples. Might not be these things as we know them, but it's the leaves that are the key, and the leaves are for the cure of the nations, which tells us that even in the fifth eon, there are still nations. We talked about things coming to fruition. You might say, but Martin, you told us that there were nations at Babylon, and God scattered the nations. They wanted to get together at the Tower of Babel. God scattered them, and why are there any more nations? When is John Lennon's dream going to come true? Imagine there's no countries. When is that going to come true, Martin Zender? Well, listen, there's still countries here. I'm just reporting. There are still nations. It's not that nations aren't the problem. It's selfish, bad nations that are the problem. Politics isn't a problem. Bad politics is the problem. Religion's not a problem. Bad religion is the problem. Humanity's not the problem. Although in this day and age, we often think it is. Bad humanity is the problem. So we have nations living in peace. Apparently only at the consummation of the eons, when death is abolished, will there be no more nations. And yet as I say that, I realize that I'm assuming it. I don't know that there will no longer be nations. In fact, I don't even know that this new earth that we're talking about in Revelation 21 and 22, I don't even know if that's going to expire. I used to assume that at the consummation, when the eons end, that time ends. I speak of eternity, and then I speak of the eons beginning, like an interruption of eternity, if you will, a stick thrown into the stream of eternity. And then we have this whole period of the eons, and the eons end, and then eternity can resume. The stick is removed from the river, and then we have this vast. But I think that's an assumption too. We know that the eons end, but again, I've supposed this in front of you before, put this forward to you. The eons end, but why do we assume time will end at that time? It might not be the eons anymore, right? It might be the Freds, right? Fredonian time. We might be entering into Fredonian time instead of Aeonian time. We have five eons. We might have six and a half Freds following the Aeonian times. It's the Aeonian times that God has set apart in order to reach his goal, this purpose of the eons, which is to reconcile the universe to himself using the body of Christ and to bring the whole of human history through an experience of evil, to humble them, to teach them, and then to eliminate the evil and bring them to a place of eternal happiness. Happy only because of the preceding contrast of evil. Thus, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By the way, I don't see that tree here. So don't tell me God's not happily concluding things. Just because you see nations, just because you still see a tree. Do you see the tree of knowledge of good and evil here? No, you don't. You see the log of life. But see, the knowledge of good and evil isn't needed anymore. That's part of our past. That's part of the past of the inhabitants of this new Jerusalem on this new earth. And they will all be happy because of the contrast. But here, death is segregated to the lake of fire still. The lake of fire is still existing as we go through Revelation 22, you see all these wonderments, all these answers to Genesis. You have to remind yourself, oh crap, well, the lake of fire is still in existence. Why? Well, we know that Satan, the adversary, and the false prophet, the supernatural beings that animated these beings, they are being tormented for the eons of the eons. So part of the fourth eon and the entirety of the fifth eon. Otherwise, the word couldn't be pluralized. Just because we're pluralizing eons of the eons doesn't mean that that first plural has to necessarily mean the entirety of eon 4, the entirety of eon 5. It does mean the entirety of eon 5, but not the entirety of eon 4, because Satan is let loose a short while at the end of eon 4. But apparently eon 4 doesn't end even when he's apprehended and sent to the lake of fire, because he's tormented for the eons of the eons. During the fifth eon, Satan is still being tormented and being taught not to blaspheme. It's a hard lesson for Satan in the lake of fire. Only three beings are tormented in the lake of fire. For the rest of humanity, as you know, I reference you back to Revelation 20, verse 4. Lake of fire is the second death. It's not called the second death until human beings are cast there. It is not the second death for Satan. Satan is an immortal being, can't die, but he can be tried. He's the only being that can be tried in fire. Don't know the details of that because we're not given them, but I do know that Satan will be reconciled to God after this time, because all things must be reconciled to God, whether those things in the heaven, or those things on the earth, or those things beneath the earth. All that is created will be reconciled to God through Christ. Read Colossians 1, 16 through 20, one of the most comprehensive collection of verses you will ever see in the scripture. If you want one verse that's really comprehensive in one verse, I would have to give you Romans 11, 36. All is out of God, through God, and into God. In other words, if I may paraphrase that, everything came out of God, everything exists because of God, and everything tends to and has its consummation in God. But wouldn't that be a great place to end for the week?